This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Halfway home on a Monday with Ben and Woods. Still no contact with the big guy. Assuming he is hopefully soundly asleep on an aircraft. And
that's what we're hoping.
We'll safely make it back this afternoon. But Polly and I don't actually know if he made his flight or if he's... still in a hotel somewhere in Manchester, like completely oversleeping.
He missed his flight entirely,
and they're like knocking on his door. Hey, Mr. Woods, checkout time was 4 hours ago. You need to vacate the premises. We have no idea.
Yeah, shockingly, there are not a lot of flights going from London to San Diego each day. I think it's one, maybe two. And we're looking, I mean, that's got to be his flight. He's somewhere over, like, Greenland right now.
Should be on a plane right now. If he's not, we have a problem.
Yeah.
Is what we've
both
determined.
If he's not on a plane right now, he will not be with us tomorrow.
Now, we'd say, well, if he's on a plane, then you're not going to hear from him. But we heard from him a million times on the flight.
The whole flight, all 16 hours.
The Wi-Fi was strong. He was communicating, sending us videos. I mean, there was no issues whatsoever on the flight to London. But on the flight back, not a word from Woods so far. So... Well, hopefully he's okay.
He texted me late last night here in San Diego. Like, I was already asleep. It was like 10:30 or something, and he texted me.
So in the morning.
And I'm doing the math. I'm like, all right, that's like 6 a.m., 6:30 a.m. his time. So I'm like, all right, that's a little early. Not necessarily for him, but still early on vacation. Maybe he's getting out and getting on his way to London so that he can get on this flight. But we haven't heard from him. We don't know.
So, surprise tomorrow. Hopefully Woods gets back. Text us, maybe sends a social media poster.
The flight that he's allegedly on may or may not be on lands at like 3 o'clock today.
All right, we'll find out.
San Diego,
at some point, we will learn the fate of Mr. Woods. Our thanks again to Craig Elston. Spicy little conversation we just had with our buddy talking Padres baseball and the trade deadline. And I threw in that nugget from Kevin Acey in his daily newsletter this morning that, again, the Padres do not seem inclined to commit significantly more resources than they already have to their payroll. So, quote, a sort of buy and sell approach where they swap some salary commitments has been increasingly seen as a way to get the impact bat they need. Craig mentioned, you know, Robert Suarez as a player they could trade. He has a $10 million salary and is going to opt out at the end of the year. So you could get something for him and save some money that you could spend on a bat or two at the deadline without increasing your payroll commitment, but then you've left yourself another bigger hole in your bullpen without your closer going forward. Jake Cronenworth has drawn some interest around the league. He's having a good season. He gets on base. Good guy to have in the clubhouse. Considered now affordable with his long-term deal that he signed a few years ago with the Padres, but then you're taking out a core player from your lineup that has already had trouble getting on base, and what are you replacing him with if you trade Jake Cronenworth? The third option, you know, also not completely palatable, but probably one that Padres fans would be able to stomach a little more, would be trading away a prospect and attaching a contract or two to that prospect. So you'd give up, I'm not saying one of your highest prospects, not Leo DeVries or Ethan Salas, but like a pretty decent prospect and saying, but you have to take Wandy Peralta with you, or Wandy and another salary to save $3 or $4 million the rest
Wandy
of the year.
Wandy makes like 7 a year?
Wandy makes like 4, I think. Not an insane amount, so you'd only be saving about a little less than $2 million at this point. You might need to find some more salary somewhere else, but it is possible. It will require some creativity on the part of AJ Preller, if that is really true. As you know, as Craig pointed out, Kevin has kind of sounded the alarm on the finances before, and then the Padres kind of ignored it and decided to spend a little bit more in pursuit of winning in the past. Will they do that under John Seidler? This is his first trade deadline as the control person of the team. Will they be willing to go? If they're over that second deadline, that's at least $4 million in just penalties right there, and increasingly more the more you go over. So if they add a few more million, they could be looking at, you know, adding $10 to $15 million to their costs for the team without getting a ton back in return just by going over the luxury tax. So getting a lot of keep Jake, trade Jake in the chat.
It's going to be so fascinating to see how they pull this off.
It will be interesting. It's one of the more fascinating trade deadlines for AJ Preller coming up here in the next couple of weeks. And yeah, next Thursday we'll know. Next Thursday is the Major League Baseball trade deadline on July 31st.
Like, teams that are active as buyers, like, you're in it for this year. You're going for it. Those teams don't typically ship out a lot of Major League talent, especially key players like Robert Suarez or Jake Cronenworth.
No, but the Brewers did it a couple of years ago when they traded Josh Hader. Didn't work out well, but they tried. It did not work. So, you know, there is a risk
there.
I
wouldn't use them as the example.
There is a risk. What does it look like if you trade Jake Cronenworth? Is he...
It looks like a very big gamble to me. Depending on what you get back, obviously.
Like in the future, it opens up second base for Xander Bogaerts to move back over there, which I think has always kind of been the idea for the Padres. But then you have an empty spot at shortstop. And, you know, Leodalis DeVries, I think he had a walk-off or a 10th inning winner for Fort Worth yesterday, but he's still in single A, and he's still one of the youngest players in single A. And he's got, I mean, he's doing okay. He's got like a 750 OPS. He just played in the Futures game, but he's not like tearing it up so much that you go, oh, yeah, he's ready. No, it looks like
not your opening day shortstop next year.
He needs at least another year in the minors, if not, you know, 2+ years in the minors before he's going to probably be a Major League Baseball shortstop. So you will then, even if you move Xander, then you need to find a shortstop going forward. So I don't know if the Padres can really afford, from a roster standpoint, to trade Jake Cronenworth at this point. He's having a good season.
He is, and you got him locked up till, what, 2030, 2031?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
$12 million a year. Yeah, I mean, like, in the short term, it's a gamble, because if you're going to put Iglesias out there every day, like, yeah, if he starts hitting and gives you a good defensive performance, then it's not that big of a deal. That's putting a lot on his shoulders.
I mean, the Mets essentially did it last year. They took Iglesias, made him a full-time player in the second half of the season, and he helped carry them to the National League Championship Series. So there's recent history where that's been done,
yeah.
But he was a little bit better hitter. I mean, he's kind of looking better lately and had another double yesterday. He's been hitting better lately. Can you count on him, though?
That's the question.
Every day in the lineup, especially, you know, he's mostly facing lefties. If you're going to have him against righties now because he's an everyday player, is he going to go back and be like a 215 hitter and with a 280 on base percentage? Because Jake's getting on base over 35% of the time. That's a big drop-off. When you're trying to add to your offense, that's a big drop-off that then you have to account for.
Yeah, and then you think about, like, next year, which, again, it's not fun for me to think about next year or beyond that when we're focused on a pennant race this year, but I don't know that Xander moves to second base next year. I think he does eventually. Obviously, in his tenure here with San Diego, he will be the second baseman and eventually maybe a first baseman or a DH. But with nobody really on his heels to play shortstop, and I guess you could go acquire one in the offseason, but now we're having the same discussion about shortstop as we are about second base, depending on how you move Xander. So, like, I don't know. I think Xander's got to be your shortstop at least another year before DeVries is ready.
Yeah.
So who plays second base now?
I think Xander is definitely your starting opening day shortstop in 2026.
Right.
All right. We got to stop this conversation.
Plays second base, though.
Stop this conversation because look who the cat dragged into our YouTube stream, Paulie.
Oh, he's alive.
Uh huh. Woodsy, a little oh, hello. Everyone, is this from 45,000 feet? I have no idea. 6 hours left. Yeah, he's on his plane. He is on the flight, and he is on his way back to San Diego. Well, Woods, we're glad that you made it onto your flight. Paulie and I were a little bit worried that you were semi-conscious, still in a Manchester hotel room, and they were knocking at the door to try to get you to leave. So it's good to know that he has made his flight and is heading back to San Diego.
6 hours left. Yeah, that's the we've found him on flight tracker.
So he's near the East Coast, like, well, coming over probably the Arctic Circle, because I think when you fly from England, you actually go up and then down and over like Canada and come straight down to San Diego.
He's about to enter Canadian airspace over Quebec. He's in between Greenland and Canada.
All right. Well, he is on his way back, everybody. That is absolutely good news. Meanwhile, we also talked with Craig about the playoff races in the National League. So I looked it up on FanGraphs, Paulie, the current playoff odds for everyone in the National League. And there is quite a bit of separation In the NL East, the Phillies have a 90% chance of making the playoffs. The Mets have an 85% chance. In the NL Central, the Cubs have a 96% chance of making the playoffs. The Brewers now have a 92% chance of making the playoffs after their 10-game winning streak. And in the NL West, the Dodgers still have a 99% chance of making the playoffs. And the Padres have a 53% chance, which obviously doesn't make you feel that confident. That's a coin flip one way or the other. But after the Padres, the next highest is the Giants at 31%. So they've definitely created some separation from the other teams in the race in terms of who has their chances. Now, if you add all the other teams collectively, the Giants, the Diamondbacks, the Cardinals, the Reds, you get to about 47%. So all those teams collectively have almost half the chance, and the Padres on their own have the other half of the chance to make the playoffs. So in that sense,
they're in a good position, man.
Just this weekend, it's gone from below 50% to over 50% for the Padres. So they're definitely trending in the right direction in terms of making the playoffs. But as 53% will tell you, far from a done deal or a sure thing that the Padres can expect to be in the postseason. They need to keep playing well. They need to add to their offense, and they're going to need to continue to move away from the rest of that pack to avoid. You could be sitting five games up of a playoff spot in September, and the Cardinals can run off 17 straight wins, and there's nothing really you can do about that.
Right.
You could finish strong and go 12-5, and all of a sudden, that team caught you. Now, that's rare, but we saw it happen.
It happened recently.
A couple of years ago with the Cardinals. We saw Rocktober way back in 2007 when the Rockies did it. So you're kind of playing with fire if you're just three or four games up. If you can add to this now 2.5 game advantage over the next couple of months and build it up to 6 or 7 games, then all of a sudden, as long as you don't collapse, you should be in pretty good shape.
But, are you letting yourself dream about the division right now? 3.5 games back with certainly a lot of winnable games on your schedule the rest of this month.
Padres with the fourth easiest schedule left in baseball.
Well, we talked about it several times.
Dodgers also have like the fifth easiest schedule.
Yeah.
So it's not
right.
It's not like you have a huge advantage over them. They're playing bad baseball right now. I watched some of that Dodgers game yesterday.
I
saw Tommy Edman make a bad throw.
I saw throw a tantrum after the game.
Andy Pajas just threw a glove up and just completely missed a ball that would have ended an inning. Clayton, you know, as a veteran, tried not to react, but he pretty much did his hand is like, oh, come on.
Come on, guys. Threw a fit in the dugout.
He was not happy.
And then was asked about reporters after the game, and he just said, you know what, I'm going to get myself in trouble if I say anything else, so we're going to end this. And he walked.
You know what, I'm going to say, the division is still winnable for the San Diego Padres.
We talked about it a few times last week and how the month of September has a lot of very winnable games, but how do you do in August? Like, there's that gauntlet of a couple of weeks where it's just nothing but Giants and Dodgers in August, and how that can really turn the entire conversation. I mean, depends on how you do. But all of a sudden, you're looking at 3.5 games back right now with, I got to imagine the Padres are going to be favored in just about every game the rest of this road trip against the Marlins and the Cardinals. And if they can pick up a couple more games and they stay in that 2-4 games back range heading into those 2 weeks in August against the Giants and the Dodgers, you're like, that could shape the division race.
I'll lay out an optimistic scenario for you. Padres continue to do what they've done all season long, and that is beat up on the bad teams, win 2 out of 3 like they did against the Nationals. Mm-hmm. And if they continue to do that, they will remain in the race with the Dodgers. Then you get to August, and you know, hopefully like by August 5th to 10th, you get Michael King back for a little warm-up start, and then you insert him fully into the rotation for that two-week stretch against the Giants and the Dodgers. You know, Yu Darvish makes a couple of vintage Yu Darvish Dodgers starts where he holds them down, and you've made a trade or two at the deadline. Guys who come in, you know, good change of scenery, come in hot in August, and you've lengthened your lineup, and you go on a bit of a run. Yeah, absolutely. By the end of that stretch, by the end of August, the Padres could be in first place in the National League West. I think more realistic, Dodgers get some of their pitchers back. They're probably going to start winning games at a much higher clip. It's going to be hard to make up those 3.5 games, no matter how you play.
I think the odds are still stacked against you. I was just wondering if, like, you know, like that number was 5.5 like a week ago. So seeing it get a little bit closer, I was just wondering if you're letting yourself dream.
According to FanGraphs, the Padres' chance to win the division is now at 5.3%.
So you're Dodgers telling me there's a chance.
91.5% still to win the NL West. So we're talking 1-20. I actually think it feels like it should be a little bit better than that. That seems a little low, considering the Dodgers just got swept again by the Brewers and are not playing good baseball.
Yeah, telling me we're 3.5 games back with 2.5 months to play.
I want to bring this back because I think there's a truth that we have learned about this baseball season that I want to get to. We'll get to that coming up later after Dennis Lynn joins us. I got John Flint standing by, though, so let's take a timeout. We'll play a little take on John as Woods heads back to San Diego from England, and we'll give you a chance to qualify for a trip to Las Vegas coming up next year on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. GEG-000466. For a full list of games and rules played at 7 Mile Casino, visit 7milecasino.com.
First, I want to tell you once again about 7 Mile Casino. It's our card room down in Chula Vista. Make it yours as well. Not only is it much easier to get to than any of the other card rooms in San Diego, quite frankly, it's just a lot nicer. It's really upscale. They got windows, beautiful view out onto San Diego Bay. I know you're not going to a card room for the view, but it's nice when you're in there. But importantly, they take care of their players really well. Friendly dealers, good staff, comfortable chairs, and if you're a high-limit player, they want to take care of you and make 7 Mile Casino your spot, whether it's a California-style blackjack, Texas Hold'em, Pai Gal, or Baccarat. Play any of your favorite card games there at 7 Mile. Enjoy a great meal at Sammy's any time of the day. 24/7 restaurant option inside of 7 Mile Casino at Sammy's. It's absolutely terrific. Any time of the day, right now, Monday morning, Friday night, Sunday, anytime, please check out 7 Mile Casino. Hop on the 5, head down to Chula Vista, west side of the freeway, Bay Boulevard, 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from downtown. Well, we are back and sitting in Woods' chair, coming in to play a little take on Woods. John Flynn from KSOM down the hall. Johnny, good morning. It's good to see you.
Hi, gentlemen. Good morning.
Just talking about we both went and saw Superman over the weekend.
I thought it was busy fun.
That's a fair way to say it. There was a lot going on in that movie, and I'm not going to say it's going to win any Academy Awards, but it was an enjoyable 2.5 hours.
Is it the best superhero movie I've ever seen? No. Did I enjoy myself? Yes.
Correct.
That's all I can ask for, right?
Johnny's here to play a little take on John. We got a contestant on the line. Looks like Daniel's going to play. So, Paulie, if you would, let's get going. All right. And Daniel, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm good. All right. If you can beat or tie John in our game today, we'll put you into our grand prize drawing. Good prize this month. It's two nights at the Park MGM in Las Vegas and two tickets to Motley Crue on September 19th, along with a $100 gas card. Get your tickets to see Motley Crue at Ticketmaster.com. Here are your categories to take on John. We've got beatboxing, 5 song titles and musical artists, including the word beat. Y-O-Y, 5 different bands whose names begin with the letter Y. And Mothers and Fathers, 5 song titles that include either mother or father in the title. So, beatboxing, Y-O-Y, or Mothers and Fathers. Daniel, what would you like to play?
Let's try Y-O-Y.
Y-O-Y. All right, 5 different bands whose names begin with the letter Y. You'll have 60 seconds. If you don't know an answer, you can pass. We'll come back to it if there's time left on the clock. First question is our 2-second song. Paulie's going to play a short clip. You need to give me the song title and that artist starting with the letter Y to score the point. Daniel, are you ready to play?
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
Paulie, we good? Thumbs up. All
right. I'm ready.
60 seconds on the clock. The category is Y-O-Y. Daniel, your time begins when Paul plays our music. Good luck. Let's take on John.
Pass.
Which 1960s English band helped launch the careers of 3 of rock's most famous guitarists? Eric Clapton, Jeff Beck, and Jimmy Page.
Yardbirds.
Correct. Don't Go and Situation were the top 2 hits for which groundbreaking synth-pop duo from the early 80s?
Pass.
Which 21st century New York indie rock band earned Grammy nominations for 4 albums and released singles including Maps and Y Control?
Yeah.
Correct. Which Swiss electronic band song Oh Yeah was featured prominently in the movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Pass.
All right, let's go back to the 2 second song.
It's Owner of a Lonely Heart. I just can't.
It is. Oh, he sneaks it out. The third point. That could be big. Daniel, stay on the line. The two you didn't get, Yaz, Don't Go in Situation, and Yellow by Oh Yeah. So let's bring in John. I am making an executive decision. John may not like this.
Uh-oh.
I think you're good enough at this game that you have to play under Woods' rules.
Which is,
He does not get the category. You have to kind of figure it out as you go.
All right.
Okay. You okay with that?
I mean, listen.
All right.
I think I'm a Woods-esque when it comes to this game.
It's a compliment. Daniel
Scores locked in. He's watching right now if you want to insult him or
anything. He is in the chat.
He's on his plane.
From his airplane.
On his private jet from England.
Exactly.
Boy, so relatable.
Right. So relatable. 60 seconds on the clock. Daniel Score is locked in. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, John. Let's take on Daniel.
Yes, Owner of a Lonely Heart.
Correct. Which 1960s English band helped launch the careers of...
The Yardbirds.
Correct. Don't Go and Situation were the top two hits for which groundbreaking synth-pop duo from the early 80s.
Yes.
Correct. Which 21st century New York indie rock band earned Grammy nominations for 4 albums and released singles including Maps and Y Control?
Pass.
Which Swiss electronic band song Oh Yeah was featured prominently in the movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Yellow.
Correct. Which 21st century New York indie rock band earned Grammy nominations for 4 albums and released singles including Maps and Y Control?
I'm saying it's a Y thing, right?
Correct.
So how much time I got left?
Probably about 5 seconds.
Ten seconds?
Yeah. I don't know. All right. You got 4, though, and you snuck out the win over Daniel.
Oh, all right.
In the category Y-O-Y. The one you didn't get. Daniel did get in the Yaz.
Oh, yeah.
But he didn't get Yaz or Yellow. So that's the difference in the game.
Hard today.
It's a tricky
Very
one.
Very difficult one today.
Well, just because you didn't get one doesn't mean it was the hardest category, but you did pull out the win, and congratulations. Daniel, well-played game, but John got you today.
What do you think Woods is snacking on in first class right now?
Oh, it's not a snack. It's a full-on gourmet four-course meal. We saw what he ate, though, on the plane ride.
What was it?
It's insane.
Is it okay we're talking about this? Or
oh, absolutely.
We just outed him.
No, everyone knows.
We did it all.
Yeah, we went through the entire menu on the flight out.
What are they feeding him on a flight to
Let's
England?
See. On the way out, he had a beautiful salad. I mean, it was gorgeous. Then he had
prawns.
The prawns and then the sea bass and then the
Chilean sea bass.
It's all on china and, like, silver. And
so great.
Really,
some sort
really,
of a mousse dessert, I think.
Listen, if you got a fly first, flying to Europe is the way to do it. I don't know.
The anytime snacks include like a lobster roll if you wanted it anytime on the flight.
Is that true?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. God, man. I flew to
Top
Greece.
Top shelf alcohol. I mean,
Johnny Walker Blue.
I flew to Greece last spring, and I just made the mistake of glancing to my left as I went back to the poor person section, and they're like laughing at you. They're in a bed.
Oh, yeah.
You know, getting massages.
Yeah, we're in a full pod with a bed and everything.
I'm jammed in the middle. I was one of those big old planes where they have a middle row. So they got the, you know,
the 252 kind of,
I'm in the middle of the middle.
The middle of the middle.
Like a 13-hour flight.
Oh, my God.
There's not enough vodka in the world.
I did that. The one time I flew back from London, I was in the middle of the five in the middle.
Oh.
Yeah. It's not good.
No, it's not. But it's not. Whatever.
Fly safe, John,
Woods.
Thank you for coming in. Woods, you'll be back, hopefully, to defend his honor tomorrow. We'll come back. Dennis Lynn, our Linsider, covering the Padres and trade deadline questions and more, will join us coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. The Athletics' Dennis Lynn is going to join us live from the Sunshine State. And I do not mean Colorado, Woods. Of Florida. He's in Miami for the opener to the Padres 3-game series against the Marlins coming up this afternoon, our time at 3:40 San Diego time. First, though, Padres fans, you're also going to make sure to tune in to the Manager's Report. Yep, this week is Mike Schilt week. Friday, 9 a.m. here on Ben and Woods. The Manager's Report is refreshed by EcoWater SoCal, dry alkaline water for just $9.95 a month. EcoWater SoCal, keeping it soft since 1925. Yeah, we'll get Dennis's post-All-Star break thoughts on the Padres right after this check of traffic on 7-3 The Fan.
Happy Monday, Padres fans. It's time to discuss the weekend that was for the Padres with our Ben and Woods Linsider, Dennis Lynn from The Athletic. Brought to you by the all-new Hamul Casino Resort, the player's place. Things are about to get real with the all-new Hamul Casino Resort. With gorgeous rooms and exciting new eats and drinks, it gets real this summer at Hamul Casino Resort, the player's place.
And we welcome Dennis Lynn from The Athletic into Ben and Woods this morning. And Dennis, hope you had a good all-star break. Did you get some time off? Did you enjoy yourself?
I did get some time off. I did enjoy myself. I'm not going to say I'm thrilled to be back in the all-star break, but hey, it happens every year. I'm sure I'll get over it at some point.
How's the weather in Miami? They have a roof, so it's not going to impact the game, obviously, but Padres just played a hot, sticky series in Washington. Got another one in St. Louis coming up. How are things in Miami right now?
Yeah, it's pretty balmy outside. haven't stepped foot outdoors yet today, but it looks like it's going to be in the 90s and humid. But yeah, thank God for the roof.
I know they don't let Major League Baseball teams wear their City Connects on the road, but I always felt like the Padres have the most Miami City Connect uniforms. Like, they'd look really good in the color scheme of Miami.
Is that something that Major League Baseball should change? And when, like, if a team travels for
like
a weekend series in San Diego,
yeah,
you know the Padres will be wearing their City Connects on Friday night. Is that good for the other team to wear theirs as well? And I don't know.
Dennis, any thoughts on that?
You know, I hadn't put much thought to that, but it doesn't seem like a bad idea. I mean, it's all about marketing, right? And the league wants to market itself better, so maybe that's an idea they should explore in future years. But right now, I think they're going to go with the usual pinstripes on the road tonight. So we'll see. But I think anything that spice up the game is probably a good thing worth exploring.
All right, Dennis, let's start with takeaways from the series in Washington. I said I thought the best news from the entire weekend had to be the performance of Dylan Cease on Friday night, looking much more like Dylan Cease. What were your kind of thoughts on that outing paired with Elias Diaz versus Martin Maldonado and just kind of a different pitch mix and just better Dylan Cease?
Yeah, I thought it was about time to maybe mix up that pairing. And I think Dylan, I wasn't there for that series, but I did see he said after that game he feels badly that he couldn't get the same results with Martin because, in his words, like Martin, I'm paraphrasing, has done an equally good job of calling his games as Diaz did the other day. So, it's been a disappointing year for him, but if he can get it turned around in the second half before he goes to free agency and help them into the postseason, I would say that trade they made with the White Sox a little over a year ago would still be well worth it. And then on the other side, I think getting to Mackenzie Gore, former Padre, in the series finale, and more so just the performance of Xander Bogaerts, not only in that game but over the past month, has been very encouraging. I know it's just the Nationals, but you know, these are the series the Padres need to win. They also need to win some of these series against winning teams, which they've had a problem with pretty much all year. But if they can, you know, nail down this road trip, similar to what they did coming out of the break last year, that really sets them up for the second half. So I think you look at the National League, it's kind of wide open, the majors in general, but especially the National League and the National League West, with the Padres only being somehow 3.5 games behind the Dodgers. So, yeah, big road series here.
Dennis, you mentioned Xander Bogaerts, who's had an insanely hot like month now at this point. He's really been putting it together at the plate. I'm just curious, what are people that are in the organization that you've talked to, what are they saying about Xander Bogaerts? How are they feeling? Is this like a small victory lap? Is it a sigh of relief? Is it we told you this is the guy that we signed. We were just waiting for him because we haven't seen this Xander like at all in the 2.5 years he's been in San Diego.
Yeah, we really haven't. Not for extended enough period anyway. But yeah, it's more, I think, overall a sigh of relief. It's still going to be probably not the kind of contract that ages well. It really hasn't aged well in the big picture of things. But yeah, if he can contribute in multiple ways, which he's doing right now, I mean, he's still got like a low 700s OPS. on the season, but if he can, you know, steal bases at the rate he's been doing and, you know, taking his opportunities in the base paths and playing some very solid shortstop and then, yeah, chipping in with the bat, that's maybe as good as they can ask for the rest of the way. But, you know, he's turned it on offensively, and that's the most important thing for this team, to get him going with the bat. And that's been very encouraging over the past several weeks. So I think you're seeing that he's kind of shrunk down the zone this year. He's, you know, making some really good swing decisions. And again, if he's going to not be the kind of hitter he was in Boston, if he's going to be a multidimensional player like he is right now, the Padres will certainly take that.
Dennis Lynn from The Athletic is with us, and it was suggested, I think it was one of your other competitors that covers the team, that the health of Xander has been one of the biggest factors in his performance. Obviously had the wrist injury, had the shoulder last year, and now he got another cortisone shot in his, his shoulder that he was dealing with earlier this year? He seems to react well to those cortisone shots. I know you can't give them too liberally and too often, but do you think that a lot of the struggles that Xander has had throughout his 2.5 years with the Padres have been more health related than anything else?
I do. I mean, his IL stint for the fractured shoulder last year was, I think, his like first IL stint in, I don't know, a decade or something like that. I'm not off the top of my head. I'm not sure if he ever had an IL stint that long before that. So yeah, it's been a different story for him health wise since he got to San Diego, and he's obviously getting up there in age already. So anytime he can kind of have a period where he's not dealing with, you know, little nagging things or more serious injuries, yeah, we've seen a better version of Xander. And unfortunately we've seen, like, yes, he's needed these cortisone injections, it feels like, quite a bit, you know, throughout his Padres tenure. But yeah, they do seem to help, and does seem like he's in a good place right now with, you know, with the shoulder. But we will see going forward to see if he can kind of stay on his feet and stay on the field.
Dennis, you've said it. I've said it. Woods has said it. AJ Preller has said it. They will be acquiring some bats, one, two bats to help with a playoff push in August and September before next Thursday. The question now is, will they also be trading away any big league players? We talked about it earlier, in order to maybe shed some salary and stay under the luxury tax, or get something for a player who's going to be gone at the end of the season. Do you see Robert Suarez, Jake Cronenworth, Dylan Cease, Luis Arraez? Do you see any possibility that one or more of those guys gets traded in a kind of a buy and sell situation here in the next 2 weeks?
I do. I don't know how likely it is. And if it happens, I don't see it being maybe more than one guy. It's hard to say which one of those guys, right? I mean, Luis Arraez, Dylan Cease, they would both be sell lows. And how much would you really get for either one of them? At the same time, I think both those guys are qualifying offer candidates, you know, in the offseason. And the Padres are well over the luxury tax. They're going to be well over the luxury tax at the end of the year. So that means if you let them walk and give them a qualifying offer that they turn down, they sign somewhere else, you only get a pick after the fourth round for each of them. So maybe that's something they have to weigh versus, you know, trying to get something for them now. But I mean, they need Dylan Cease. They need the version, especially of him, what they got in Washington. And I don't know how they're going to replace them with enough innings if they trade him now. And then Luis Arraez, again, yeah, his value is just down a lot around the league. So he's a guy that you would have to replace as well. I don't know if you want to put, you know, you could trade him and then put Gavin Sheets at first base, but, and put Jake Cronenworth at, well, I guess he wouldn't move, but, you know, it's another hole you have to fill in left field, which is already a hole. So I think there's some complicated questions here with whether they want to buy and sell at the same time. But I do think with their payroll situation and probably not having a lot of room to add money, it is something they consider. And it's also why they're so interested in a guy like Jaron Duran, who's not making that much money salary-wise. So, yeah, some good questions heading into July 31st.
All right, finally, Dennis, this series against the Miami Marlins, there's going to be a perception that the Padres should roll over this team. I view this series as kind of dangerous. The Marlins have been playing decent baseball and have some good arms going in this series. How do you kind of view the next 3 days here?
Yeah, I agree. It's there aren't many any real super teams in the NL this year. It feels like there's just a lot of teams bunched up in the middle, and they're one of them. Not that they're going to buy or anything at the deadline, but they obviously look like they're going to be sellers, but they've been playing really well of late. It seems like I saw something about how they were celebrating drawing like 46,000 fans to Lone Depot Park over the weekend over 3 games. I mean, that's one game for Pecco, but for the Marlins, that's quite a bit. So there's some exciting building, I think, locally about this team that they are at least showing they can be semi-competitive. So I don't see it as a walk in the park at all. But again, the Padres have been really good against these sub-500 teams, so they need to continue taking care of business here.
All right, good to have you back, Dennis. We'll see if it's going to be an interesting week in Miami and St. Louis, and we'll talk to you again next Monday.
Thanks, guys.
All right, there he is, Dennis Lynn from The Athletic, getting back into the swing of things post-All-Star break for the Padres. He thinks maybe one guy could be traded, but doesn't really think the value for Luis Arraez or Dylan Cease is that high around the league. I mean, you could save a significant chunk of money on either of those guys, but you're just creating more holes to fill if you trade one of those guys as well. It's a tough situation for AJ Preller going forward. If there is salary considerations to be dealt with because of the luxury tax, there is no perfect solution for the San Diego Padres, I think, that answers all of their problems. And by the way, if you wanted to trade, even if you wanted to trade one of your top prospects, the latest news on Ethan Salas wasn't particularly good. Our friend Kyle Glazier from Baseball America, isn't that where he's with still?
I don't think he's there anymore.
He's no
actually
longer there. Where
he's
is
freelancing
he?
Freelancing right now.
Well, he reported that the recovery from the stress fracture in Ethan Salas's back is going slower than the Padres had kind of hoped. And he's, well, not really that close to catching any games. He's kind of taking like fake catching in the back, but in terms of like swinging and getting back into minor league baseball, it's looking more and more like this is just going to be a lost season of development for Ethan Salas. Now, in the minors, you can lose a season and still play winter ball and, you know, sure, through the year and kind of catch up with what you missed. So
yeah,
it's not
Arizona Fall League.
Yeah, it's not necessarily a complete disaster, but in terms of like what they were hoping to see from Ethan Salas, they haven't really gotten an opportunity to see anything from Salas this last offseason. So that's not really the best thing in terms of at least creating value. If you were going to trade him, even Ethan Salas's value is kind of low right now, right, because of the injury and the fact that nobody has seen him for so long.
I don't know that it would scare teams off that much, but yeah, no, you'd be selling lower than you could have. I go, yeah, with Dylan Cease, you know, I still stand by what I said last week. You got to just weigh the options. You got to look at it and go, are we going to get more production back from him, or are we going to get more production out of Cease if we just hope that he gets back to being Dylan Cease? And he was off to a good start on Friday night.
By the way, officially, according to Kyle, no setbacks, just slow healing. No set timeline for Ethan Salas's return per team officials. All right. The truth that I have learned about the National League coming up next year on The Fan.